Heart is troubled and you have no peace at all. Won't you come and trust the Savior? Won't you answer when He calls? He has died to save you and to cleanse you from all sin. He will make you glad and He will give you peace and joy within. So let the Savior in. He'll banish every sin. Troubles, doubts, and fears that have burdened you for years, heaven will be yours, eternity within. If you'll open up your heart and let the Savior in. Satan tries to hinder you, he makes the world look bright, then he whispers in your ear, oh, my friend, your soul will live throughout eternity. Either up in heaven or down in hell, what will your answer be? So let the Savior in. He'll banish every sin. Troubles, doubts, and fears that have burdened you for years, heaven will be yours. Eternity within. If you'll open up your heart and let the Savior in. And you'll love a man of prayer, praying three times daily, even when they had him cast in the den of lions. Even then, in the den, fears could not alarm him. God had shut the lion's mouth, so they could not harm him. David was a brave young man, the lion could not scare him. Even though the giant had sword and shield to save him, from the brook David took five smooth stones to raise him. With his sling he then did bring the giant down before him. Only a lack all day had, but he could pray and sing. Only a lack all day had, only a rippling brook. Only a lack all day had, and five smooth stones he took. One little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. One little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. Oh, round and round, round and round, round and round and round. One little stone went through the air, and the giant fell to the ground.
Well, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me. And, you know, I enjoy speaking to children, and I enjoy speaking to people that are still young at heart, so I'm glad you're all here. We'll get that out of the way so I won't knock it over while I'm telling the story here. Now, you know, sometimes when I speak to children, I try to come up with a story that maybe I think you don't know all that well and try to tell it and apply some lessons from it. Well, tonight, or this afternoon, I'm going to tell you a story that I am sure every single one of you know, but I'm hoping that maybe I can drive some lessons home from a well-known story. So we're going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17 together, okay? 1 Samuel 17. We're just going to read a few verses and then I'm going to fill in the rest, okay? So 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine and fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Okay, so that's all we'll read. Now, before we get into this part of the story, I want to ask you a question. We're going to learn about David today. Now, before David became king, what job did David do? What did he do? Ben? He was a shepherd. Okay, so maybe he looked after something that looked a little like this, but maybe when it still had legs and a tail. But feel that. What does that mean? What is that? Is that a sheepskin? You want to feel how soft that is, moment? So David had whole flocks of sheep, and he looked after the sheep. Okay, if you don't get to feel all the props that I bring out, you can come up after and have a look at them, okay? So anyways, David was a shepherd. Now I want to spend a little time before we get into the main story here thinking about a shepherd and what a shepherd is and what a shepherd does, okay? So the first thing about David, now when I think of David, I think of him as a really, really good shepherd. And as I was thinking about a good shepherd, I came up with about five things that a good shepherd is and that a good shepherd does. Now the first thing, and I'm going to get your help, but I'm going to start us off on the first one. The first thing about a shepherd is a shepherd loves his sheep. A shepherd loves his sheep. He spends all day with those sheep. Whether it's raining, whether it's hot and sunny out, the shepherd is with the sheep and he wants the very best for them because he loves them. Now I'm going to come back to this, but you know what, boys and girls? One of my main objectives here today is I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. I know you know that, but I want you to really stop and think about it. Take it in. Jesus loves me. We sing that a lot, don't we? And he does. He loves you more than you can even imagine. So David was a good shepherd, and he loved his sheep. Now, what else does a shepherd do? Help me out with your hands up. I'll only take the answer if your hand is up. What else does a shepherd do? Karis, you want to take a try? Just, what does a shepherd do? He gives the sheep some food. I'll come back to you later. So start thinking about what else a shepherd might do. A shepherd provides for the needs of his sheep. So whether his sheep needs food, as Karis said, or water. Did you know that sheep, they won't drink out of a river that's flowing real fast. They won't drink out of rough water. It has to be nice and calm, nice and smooth in order for them to actually go and take a drink. So a shepherd makes sure that sheep has food, water, green pastures to lie down in and rest. So a shepherd provides for the needs of his sheep. Okay, so that's another lesson about a shepherd. So that's two. I've got five here. How about you ladies? What were you going to say?
A shepherd knows his sheep.
A shepherd knows his sheep. That's very good. And you know what? The sheep in turn know the shepherd, right? So the shepherd loves his sheep and he knows their needs, their unique needs, and maybe their hang-ups, and he loves them and works with them. Okay, how about you? What else about a shepherd? He looks after his sheep. Okay, so if his sheep need protection, he looks after them. Okay, so we've got the shepherd loves his sheep. He looks out, he provides for his sheep, he protects his sheep. A couple other I thought of. One is he leads his sheep. Okay, You know, when it comes to cattle, we're in cattle country here in this area. The cowboy on his horse, he drives the cattle. He's behind them or beside them, and he's trying to keep them going in the direction he wants them to go. A shepherd, on the other hand, he walks in front of the sheep, and he leads his sheep, okay? So, shepherd, he loves the sheep, he leads the sheep. Here's my last point. A shepherd is where the sheep are, okay? You can't be a good shepherd if you're sitting at home in the comfort of your home and your sheep are out there on the hills. That's not a very good shepherd. How can you look after their needs? How can you protect them if you're not right where the sheep are? So a shepherd is with the sheep, okay? So he loves the sheep. He's where the sheep are. He leads the sheep. He protects the sheep. And he provides for the sheep. So that brings me to the last part, actually, the last point on my 5 points. The shepherd protects the sheep. Now let's think about David a little bit. David was a really, really good shepherd. And here's these sheep that he loves. But you know what? I really like the taste of lamb. Who likes eating lamb? Isn't lamb good meat? Well, you and I are the only ones that think lamb tastes good. There is a lot of animals out there that just love the taste of a tender young lamb. And so David tells a story. He says, he's talking to Saul here, but he's thinking back. One day, David was out in the fields, and he's watching the sheep. He's got his staff. This is not a very good shepherd's staff, but it was all I was able to come up with. What does a shepherd's staff look like? Is it longer than this?
Yeah.
It's probably longer. What's at the end? Is it straight or is it curved at the top? That's right. It's called a shepherd's crook. Okay, but just for my lesson here today, we'll pretend. So here's David. He's got his slingshot for protection. He's got his rod, his staff, his crook, whatever you want to call it, and he's watching the sheep. And all of a sudden, he hears maybe the bleating of a sheep. I don't even know what it would sound like, but he knows that there is a sheep in trouble. And then maybe he hears a roar. What do you think David heard?
What did he hear?
A lion. Now, I don't know if it looked like this African lion did, but how would you like to come face to face with that lion? I don't think I'd like to be a shepherd and have one of these. And you know what he's talking about? He's talking about a lion taking one of his sheep. Okay, so this lion has a sheep in his mouth. He is going to drag that sheep away, and he is going to eat it up. What does David do? What does David do? Does he run away? No, he doesn't run away. He goes after that lion. He doesn't have much. He's got a sling. He's got his rod. Maybe he has a club. And he goes after that lion. He chases that lion down. And he grabs the little lamb from the lion's mouth. The lion's got a good hold on that sheep. And he grabs it from the lion's mouth. And then the lion, do you think he runs away? Not yet. He turns on David. He is going to attack David, and he's going to maybe even kill David. And the Bible, David says, he took the lion by the jaw, and he killed it. Killed the lion with his bare hands? Wow. Another day now, we don't read about this with David, but the Lord Jesus did mention that wolves would come in and get the sheep. So maybe another day, David's there, and all of a sudden, something comes into the field. And it's a wolf. And that wolf, he also likes to taste the sheep. And so he's going to go after that sheep. He's going to attack the sheep and drag it away. And what does David do? Does David run away from the wolf? He didn't run away from the lion. Is he going to run away from the wolf? Hands up if he's not going to run away. Good, you're right. David chases that wolf down. He's got a grip on that sheep. And he chases him down, grabs the sheep from his mouth. And then the wolf turns on David. And what does David do? The Bible says he grabbed him, well, just like the lion and the bear, he grabbed him by the jaw and he swallowed him.
22.
Another day, David's there, and all of a sudden, there's a bear attacking his sheep. Okay.
Should I put this one on?
Okay, and that bear, it likes to taste the sheep too. And so it grabs the sheep, and it's trying to get away, and David grabs it. And he escapes from the paw of the bear, and he grabs the bear by the jaw and kills it with his bare hands. Pretty scary animals. I don't know if I want to take these on. The lion. Look at this lion. Massive. The wolf. The bear. I wouldn't want to fight those, but David was very brave. And he fought them and killed them with his bare hands. He protected his sheep. He cared for his sheep. David was a good shepherd. Now I want to tell you, just wait, you can see them after, okay? I want to tell you about another shepherd. The Bible calls this shepherd the good shepherd. Who is it talking about? Who is the good shepherd? Roman? Close. Right? Jesus. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. So if we said a good shepherd does these five things, let's just check this with Jesus, okay? So the first thing about the good shepherd or a good shepherd is he loves the sheep. Boys and girls, I'm here to tell you, and I'm so thankful that I can tell you this, Jesus loves you. I've already said it, but it's worth repeating. He loves you more than anyone else. He loves you more than you can even imagine. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. He loves you with a love you can't even comprehend. What else about a shepherd? The shepherd, he's where the sheep are. And you know what? The Bible tells us that Jesus, the good shepherd, came into the world to save sinners. You know, I am so thankful that the Lord Jesus came right to earth. He didn't send an angel to pay for our sins because an angel never could. He didn't send an angel to make a way to heaven for us because an angel never could. The Lord Jesus Christ, he came. The good shepherd came right to where we were. Now, something I missed, it's pretty important here to tie it all together. Why am I talking about Jesus as the shepherd? Who's the sheep? Who are the sheep when we're talking about Jesus as the shepherd? Anyone over here? We're the sheep. That's right. The Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You and I, time and time again, as we read through the Bible, compares us to sheep. Some of the reasons aren't very flattering, but the Bible compares us to sheep. And we need a good shepherd. And I'm so thankful to say that Jesus is the good shepherd. So a good shepherd loves the sheep. Jesus loves you. A good shepherd goes where the sheep are. He came into the world to save sinners. A good shepherd leads. And the Lord Jesus, when he's talking about this good shepherd, When Jesus is talking about the good shepherd in John chapter 10, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. So Jesus leads his sheep too. And you know what? I'm so thankful that Jesus leads me in my life. I don't always follow like I should, but he leads me. And you know what? That is a wonderful hope and privilege that a Christian has, is we have a shepherd leading us. Showing us the way that we should go, clearing obstacles out of the path, making sure that, well, we're going to get to the protection part in a minute here, but he leads us. Another thing about a shepherd is a shepherd, Kara said, is food to the sheep. And you know what? Our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, he provides for all of our needs. Whatever they are, we all have different needs. As I look out, there's so many different people here, different boys and girls, teenagers. We all have different needs. And in Philippians 4:19, you know what Paul wrote to the Philippians? My God shall supply all your needs. Isn't that amazing? David could write in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. He knew that the Lord Jesus, his Lord, would take care of all his needs. And so he said, I won't need anything. I'll never be in need. In 1 Peter, what does Peter write there? Cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. What an amazing shepherd we have, boys and girls. He wants to be your very own shepherd. You know what Jesus said? He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Do you know that Jesus loved you so much that he died for you? We're going to learn about the enemy that you and I have, and he died to free you from that enemy, to save you from your sins. And he wants to be your shepherd. Not just to save you, but to lead you and provide for you for the rest of your life. He is the good shepherd. Now, the last thing that a shepherd does is he protects his sheep. And I've kind of already touched on this a little bit, but you know what? Jesus, he protects us day to day. He protected me and my family driving up here this morning. But most of all, he protects us and saves us from our enemy, that great problem of sin that we have. So that's a little bit about a shepherd that I want to focus on, but there's still a lot more. Here's David. He's protected the sheep. God has chosen him to be king, and I found it really interesting in 1 Samuel 16 there. When David comes before Samuel, just before Samuel anoints him, God says to Samuel, this is the one. Anoint him. Boy, that reminded me of the Lord Jesus. The one that God chose, his only son, his unique son, like you heard this morning, the one that God sent to save us from our sins. But here's David. He's fought the lion. He's maybe fought the wolf. We know he's fought the bear as well as the lion. He's protected his sheep. God has made him king. And now he goes to visit his brothers on the battlefield. And he meets or hears someone there. Well, let's just back up a little bit. We've got the Israelites on one side of the valley. We've got the Philistines on the other side of the valley. Now, the Philistines, they have a big champion, he's called. He's a giant. What's his name? Hands up. What's his name?
Goliath.
Kedron, do you know? Goliath, that's right. Okay, so here's Goliath. Now, this Goliath was huge. Imagine 9'9", so I'm 6 feet. If I was to stand right here, he'd still be taller than me. He would have bumped his head on that door, no problem. He'd almost be touching the ceiling over there. This man was huge, and the Bible tells us a little bit about him and his weapons, okay? The Bible says that Goliath wore a helmet of brass, okay? They said that his armor weighed probably about 175 pounds in total, okay? So he had a big helmet of brass. This is pretty heavy, but I bet you his helmet was like four times heavier. He had a giant sword. This would just be like his little pocket knife. Just a tiny little pocket knife. My pocket knife is that big. This would be Goliath's. He was huge. The Bible says that his spear was like a weaver's beam. So probably three times as round as this, way longer, and the head of the spear weighed 15 pounds. Goliath, he probably weighed about 600 to 750 pounds. So he was a big man. Not only that, he was trained as a man of war from his youth. So he was a fighting machine. He was the champion of the Philistines. And you know what? From a human perspective, Goliath was undefeatable. For 40 days, he challenged the people of Israel. He said, you send a man to fight against me, him and I will fight, and if we win, you'll be our slaves. But if you beat me and he kills me, then we'll all be your servants. And that's what he said. And so for 40 days, he would come out to this valley, he would come out in front of the armies, and he would issue this challenge. Well, people's knees were knocking. Nobody wanted to go fight this man. Hands up if you would have gone and fought him. That would have been interesting to see. David Richardson, what David did, David did, so this David figures he might as well take a try too. And if you approach it the same way, I can tell you you'll be successful. Okay, now David hears this challenge when he goes to visit his brother. And he says, who is this guy? Why are you all afraid? Like, he is defying the armies of the Lord. Why doesn't anyone fight him? And I mean, David's probably only 20, if that. He's not very old. He's not very experienced, even though, I mean, he's fought the lion, the bear, maybe the wolf. He is a pretty brave young man. He was already noted for that. But still, fight this man that's 9'9", 600, maybe 750 pounds. Wow. But you see, David remembered three things. He remembered that God's honor needed to be protected. This wasn't just man against man. Israel were God's chosen people, and David had to stand for the honor of God. The other thing he remembered was what God had done for him in the past. He remembered that he had been able to beat the lion. He remembered that he'd been able to beat the bear and anything else that came along. And so he remembered what God had done for him in the past. The last thing, and David says it himself, he said, the battle is the Lord's. So if Mr. Richards approached him with that, then he might have been successful. David was successful because he remembered those three things. So David goes to Saul, and he says to Saul, listen, I'll go fight this giant. The Lord will be with me. I've killed the lion. I've killed the bear. God will be with me, and he will defeat this enemy. So David goes out there. First of all, Saul tries to suit him up with his armor. He puts his big helmet on, gives David his sword, gives him his shield, and David can hardly walk this way so much. Saul was a pretty big man, too. So David says, no, I can't use this stuff. I'm going to take my staff. I'm going to take my sling. And as he was running to the giant, he gathered how many smooth stones? Five smooth stones. I can guarantee you, well, I can't guarantee you they weren't this big, but I can guarantee they were not green. But just in case my little sling demonstration doesn't work, I don't want to have a rock in here, okay? But we should be okay. Don't worry, I'm not going to let it go down. Okay.
You sure of that?
I'm not sure, but if I have my way, I'm not going to. Okay. So here's David. And he's way more smoother than I am. Okay, I'm, Goliath wouldn't have given me time to set my little stone in there and everything. But David comes up to Goliath and Goliath says, what? I've challenged you for all these days and you're sending a little boy with a stick and a stone? Who do you think I am? And so David comes, or Goliath starts to challenge. David comes towards him. And the Bible says that David took one of his smooth stones and he starts to spin it around. Last night at home, I did that three times and it all came in.
That's what it cost you.
Can you see why I didn't use a rod? Okay. So anyway, just before the ball took off, did you hear that whistling through the air? That's probably how it was. And David swings that. And he swings that. And he lets it go, and the Bible says it went straight to the giant's forehead, sunk in, and the giant fell forward to the ground. Boom. Imagine 600 pounds or 750 pounds landing on the ground. I wonder if David just kind of bounced a little bit into the live pit. But you know what? Then he ran up to the Goliath. He took Goliath's own sword. It would have been a lot bigger than this. And the Bible says that with Goliath's own sword, he cut off Goliath's head. And he held it up. The Philistines ran. They realized that they had been beaten. They realized that God was indeed with the armies of Israel. And so they fled. Now, that was David's greatest victory. David was an amazing warrior. But there were other, and there were many other victories in the future from this story. But I would say this is one of David's, if not the most well-known victory that David had. Now, I want to spend my last few minutes with you thinking about another great victory. David conquered this giant Goliath, but you know what? Someone else has conquered an even greater enemy. Any ideas who I'm going to tell you about now? Jesus, right? If Jesus was the good shepherd, sticking with our theme, he's going to be the one that's fought the great victory that I'm going to tell you about now. David fought Goliath. The Lord Jesus Christ fought sin and death and hell. Three massive giants, all intertwined, related to each other. Jesus fought them all at the place called Calvary. Let's think about them a little bit. Sin. This is a giant problem that all of us have. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says there's none righteous, no, not one. You and I, we have a problem called sin that we can do nothing about. Just like Goliath, from a human perspective, was undefeatable, sin, we cannot defeat it. We cannot defeat sin. The other problem is death. Now, this is something that is going to come across all of our paths. Not one of us can avoid it. Not one of us can trick it. Not one of us can delay it. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. The Bible also says the wages of sin is death. Another giant enemy that, from a human perspective, undefeatable. How about hell? Who can fight hell? Who can defeat hell? Hell is the place where those that reject God's Son will pay for their sins. They will pay the ultimate price for their sins forever. And you know what, boys and girls? We don't want any of you to go there. We don't want any of you to see that place. And that's why you're here. And that's why we're trying to tell you. Jesus died for you to save you from your sins. So you don't have to go to hell and pay for those sins. So these three enemies, undefeatable. From a human perspective, nothing we can do. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he fought them at a place called Calvary. The Bible says in 1 Peter, the Lord Jesus, who his own self bore or took our sins in his own body on the tree. What does that mean? Well, that means that when Jesus died on the cross, he was punished for your sins. God already punished his son. The good shepherd, the one who said, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He's already punished his son. You don't need to pay for your sins. They've already been dealt with, but the Bible says that we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we believe, we'll be saved. We'll be saved from sin and death and hell. You know, the Lord Jesus conquered those three enemies by dying on the cross. Yes, he died. The Bible says he died, he was buried, but 3 days later, he rose again. If we were to go to the tomb where Jesus was buried, and if we were to go there today, hands up, what would we find? If we knew for sure this was the tomb where Jesus was laid. Ben? Nothing. We would find nothing because Jesus is not there. He is alive. He is risen from the dead, and that is how we know that he was victorious. Death couldn't hold him. He conquered it. He conquered sin and death and hell by dying on the tree. Paul could write in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, oh death, or he would start off by saying, death, where is your victory? Or death is swallowed up in victory. Grave, I'm totally misquoting this, but death, where is thy victory? Grave, where is your sting? Jesus conquered death. He goes on to say a few verses later, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you from your sins. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to look after you. And he wants you to be with him in heaven for all eternity. It's our hope that you'll accept him as your Savior, that you'll allow him to be your good shepherd, and that someday, when life is over, when death does come, you'll be with him forever. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your participation. We're going to, let's try singing a song. It goes till 12. I've got 2 more minutes or so. Okay. How many here know the song, When David Was a Shepherd Boy? Hands up, because if I don't see many hands, I don't want to do a solo. Ooh, yikes. You know the course by Jesus saw a greater fight upon Mount Calvary? Okay, I'm going to try it first. I might end up doing a solo, and I'm not that great of a singer, but help me if you can. When David was a shepherd boy, he did as he was told. He bought the sheep from Bethlehem in green and shining gold. But Jesus fought a greater fight upon Mount Calvary. He conquered sin and death and hell by dying on the tree.
We actually have one.
And then the hungry bear, he asked the Lord to give him help and slew them there and there. But Jesus fought a greater fight upon Mount Calvary. He conquered sin and death and hell by dying on the tree. He also slew Goliath, both with sinful stone and sling. So God chose up this shepherd boy to be his people's king. But Jesus fought a greater fight upon Mount Calvary. He conquered sin and death and hell by dying on the tree. Well, thanks for bearing with me on that. Let's just pray.